This is On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at what is happening in Western New York with news, features, and special guests. Now, here's your host, Penny Wolfgang.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang. So we're here every week and we talk about subjects that we think are interesting and important and topical and educational and I don't know. What else? What other word can I use there? So every week we try to get guests that we think you would know or want to know from here in the Western New York community. And today we are going to be talking to our very, very own well-known director of public relations for our favorite travel company, AAA, or at least the most certainly well-known one here in West New York. And we get to talk about one of our favorite subjects, travel, because I don't know how you feel about it, but it was so terrible during the last couple of years when we couldn't go anywhere and we couldn't, like, either for fun or for business or to see our family or our friends. I just couldn't wait to get back on the road again, as the saying goes. So Elizabeth Carey, who is our guest today, is on the road also. And actually, she is talking to us from Texas, from the great old state of Texas, which was a surprise to me. Hi, Elizabeth. Hi, Liz. Hi. Miss Carey over there. How y'all doing in Texas?
Yeah, y'all is right. I'm doing great.
What are you doing? What are you doing there?
So I'm in Galveston, Texas. So the port of Galveston has undergone a multi-million-dollar renovation. So Royal Caribbean invested like $125 million in the port. The port of Galveston invested about $33 million, and it goes on and on. So it's like hundreds of millions of dollars into this port so they could make these improvements to bring in bigger size cruise ships. So Royal Caribbean can have their Oasis class ships here. So I get to see the brand new terminal, check it out, and aboard Allure of the Seas with Royal Caribbean and see everything that is to see here in Galveston. And what they do expect is more than a million people to cruise out of this port in 2023.
Oh my gosh, you know why that's so amazing? Well, first of all, I never thought of going on a cruise starting in Galveston. I never would think about it. So, I mean, you just think of going from the Caribbean, you start from Miami or going to, I don't know, it's just not a port. It's just a port that we wouldn't think about, and I guess it's been underestimated, right? Underused?
Yes, definitely, because when you do think about it, traveling out of Buffalo, a lot of people travel to Fort Lauderdale or Miami to take their cruises down to the Caribbean. But if you want to go to, say, places like Cozumel or Mexico on the western side of things, Costa Maya, Galveston's definitely an opportunity now. And they do expect people from other areas, including Buffalo, to be utilizing this port now that they're going to put themselves on the map, that they can handle these bigger ships. One of the things that you have to be aware of, though, is there's so many convenient ways to get to the ports in Fort Lauderdale, Miami from the airport. Well, here in Houston, you fly into Houston, two airports to choose from, Bush Intercontinental or Hobby. Both are about an hour to the cruise terminal. So you'd want to use the cruise transportation from the cruise line would probably be the easiest way. So there's kind of an extra step involved in that. But I'm telling you, Galveston Island, walking along the beach this morning, checking everything out, really beautiful sight, beautiful sunrise. And I'm glad that I got to experience this place that I've never been to before.
Well, let's talk about cruising since we started on the subject. I was said at the top of the program how much everybody missed traveling. And I felt a couple of years ago that nobody would ever go on a cruise again in their whole life because of all the issues that between not just COVID, but I can't think of the illness that people kept getting, and people kept getting sick, and they would be stranded on cruises in the middle of the ocean somewhere, and I don't know, it seemed like everything was going wrong, and it was a very, very almost dangerous way to travel. Now, of course, it seems to be recovered. Thank goodness the COVID part is pretty well taken care of. And I don't know about all the other issues. Are people, like, back cruising, and is it safe?
Yes. So what happened is, I understand, and I felt the same way in the beginning in 2020 when you saw those cruise ships out there and, you know, people hanging their laundry up the balcony and being stuck in their cabins. I thought, oh, my goodness, are people going to cruise? And then, of course, cruising was not allowed because the CDC put a stop to it during, you know, the midst of the pandemic. Then they resumed it in summer 2021, and we started to see people slowly go back and check it out. But now, then they've had incredible deals to get people to go back, and it's tempting because it's really cheaper than even taking a staycation because it, you know, includes all your food and your entertainment and everything like that. So we've slowly seen people return to cruising, and it's definitely, they're bringing out new cruise ships. So the cruise lines are still investing in this mode of transportation and travel. So people are definitely heading back to it.
Well, you have to mention, you just mentioned, but you have to explain that cruising is, turns out to be one of the most economical ways to travel because you can see a lot of places. I mean, and everything is included, and you can go a lot of places with just one, you know, put your stuff in the one cabin. You don't have to pack. You don't have to unpack from one place to another. And it's very, very convenient, but it's also pretty economical.
Right. You unpack once, and all these different islands that the cruise ships usually stop at all have a different culture or a different sense of, you know, what they offer as far as the food or the cuisine or the activities. So you get to see a lot of different things all in one trip. And so what we're seeing is a lot of people enjoying that aspect of it. And not just even Caribbean cruising, but even river cruising in Europe or Asia, in Alaska making a return to cruising. So a lot of different choices out there. But like you said, yeah, all your meals are included, all your entertainment. And, you know, if you want to do additional excursions or just go explore these different ports, there's really something for everyone.
I don't know about the difference or how people feel about, you just mentioned like river cruises, the difference between a river cruise and a big ship like what you mentioned, the Allure or one of, you know, the thousands of people on one ship as opposed to these small river cruises. I think if there's a big difference in the whole experience.
There absolutely is. So I actually just took a river cruise in September, so I can definitely speak to that because you're saying, like, exactly right, thousands of people on an ocean-going vessel, but then a river cruise holds about 150 passengers. And the ship that I was on with AMA Waterways had about 125 passengers, and they said that was the most they've had since the pandemic. So people were coming back to that. And the difference is, on a big, huge cruise ship in the ocean, you have a casino and entertainment and shows and activities and, you know, pool parties. And on a river cruise, there is a pool, but it's a different atmosphere. And what it is, it's a little more refined, and you're enjoying more. I mean, and meals are good on an ocean cruise, too, but it's maybe more cuisine from the region that you're visiting, whether it be, you know, France or Italy or Asia. And then there's no entertainment as far as a casino type thing. What it is all these different ports that you're visiting and the culture that you're experiencing. Then coming back, having a nice dinner, and a lot of people just going to sleep and seeing what's in store the next day. So they do have some entertainment on the ship as far as music and things like that, but you won't find a casino and all that on board. Now, they do have you know, wellness center and a gym and things like that, but it's definitely a different experience.
It's definitely more intimate, but you don't, if you want the glamour and the excitement of a big ship, it's a lot different, I know. Now, let's just talk about people traveling for the holidays, because this is why I thought of talking to you to begin with at this time of year. So we have Thanksgiving coming, and then we have, you know, the whole holiday season. And I don't know, how has travel picked up? Are people going to go visiting as they used to? Are people going to go traveling as they used to? And what are going to be the issues?
Yeah, so what we're expecting is travel. Every holiday this year, travel has increased compared to last year. And if you look at last year's numbers for Thanksgiving, across the entire country, it was like 53.4 million people traveled for Thanksgiving. So that was up 13% from 2020. So we do expect numbers to be up again this year. We should have an exact figure next week when AAA incorporates the road trips into the travel numbers. But what we're seeing as far as people flying to their destinations, Orlando being the number one destination. What we're seeing, though, is prices going up. The airfare's up. Hotels are up, and also rental cars are up. So people should be prepared to pay a little bit more. But the numbers are not slowing down. People want to travel. There's such a pent-up demand for travel that people still want to get out and about.
Yeah. And speaking of pent-up demand, you are so right. I mean, like I said, I couldn't wait for it to be over. So, I mean, I couldn't even fly to New York to see my sister, you know, which I had done like once a month. So I was like, oh, my God, I can't wait. However, as far as we're talking about travel, as far as travel, I found out, much to my surprise, the majority of, or a great many people that travel go by automobile.
Yes, no matter what it seems, what holiday it is, road trips always seem to reign supreme.
So now we've got...
You know, if you think about like a family, yeah, if you have a family of four or a family of six, you know, buying a flight right. for all of those family members can cost a lot. Yet if you have, you know, a minivan or even rent a larger vehicle, it's more economical if people can drive. But of course, it takes more time. It's not as convenient as hopping on a plane.
Well, let's talk about that part. Let's talk about the gas prices and the experience. Like, of course, it's going to be less than going on a plane with a whole family than the airfare and so forth. But what about the gas prices? What about accommodations? All of those issues.
Yeah, so unfortunately, gas prices have gone up over the past couple of weeks. We're at about $3.81 for the U.S. average right now and about $3.90 in New York State. So no one wants to pay that much for gasoline. You know, luckily it's come down from where it was in the spring, but it's still going to be more economical to fill up the tank and drive to your destination, you know, than buying a plane ticket and traveling that way. So people should just keep that in mind. If they are traveling, the roads are going to be busy, but the airports will be busy too. So we remind everyone to pack your patience.
I know. Somebody said, what are the tips, whether you're traveling, especially when you're traveling by air, but wherever you're traveling, whatever you're traveling, go early. Well, probably this just applies to air. Go early and be patient. Are those your main
tips? Absolutely. You know, get to the airport early. People have these early morning flights, like 6 a.m. flight, and they think, oh, no one flies out at 6 a.m. The airport, you know, Buffalo Airport will be dead. It's the busiest time of the day at the Buffalo Airport. You will be surprised how long these security lines are when you get to the airport at 5:30 in the morning. So you don't want to be the one that holds up your flight, you know, or be responsible for missing or, you know, a connection or anything like that. So make sure you get to the airport early. For the holidays, we're reminding people to get to the airport about 2 hours early just to make sure that they're in place, especially if you're traveling on one of those early morning flights and you need to fly out and get through security. Luckily, some of the delays and cancellations that we saw over the summer, the airlines have rectified, and there hasn't been as many lately. So we're hoping it'll stay that way through the holiday season.
Well, you read my mind already, because that was one of the next questions that I want to discuss with you, which is the airlines, the lack of, I don't know, let's say they don't have enough pilots, they don't have enough planes, they don't have enough crew, they cut back on the flights. And is all of that true, still true, and are they doing something about it?
Yeah, so they did have to reduce the flights based on staffing for airlines across the board. And something to remember is they never resumed the full number of flights that they had pre-pandemic. So they had less planes out in the air and then had to bring it down again to take care of those staffing issues. So a lot of these flights are going to be sold out. So that's something you should remember too. So all the airlines are charging extra. You want to reserve your seat, or do you want to make sure you have this spot on the plane? So you have to think about that in advance if you are flying, if that's something you want to pay extra for, a specific seat on the plane, or if you just want to chance it and see where you end up. You know, sometimes with the airlines like Southwest, you know, you get board in like A, B, or C groups, and so you don't know where you're going to be able to sit. And if you really want to make sure the family sits together, you might want to reserve those seats and pay a little extra. But those planes, most of them are going to be full around Thanksgiving. And we do expect the day before Thanksgiving to still be busy. Traditionally, that's the busiest travel day. But we also expect Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday before Thanksgiving to be busy as well, as people try and spread out the holiday this year. The Thanksgiving holiday is usually all about being with your loved ones, being with your family, and having that meal together. And what we're seeing this year is people trying to extend it a little bit, taking advantage of maybe some cheaper flights earlier in the week rather than waiting till the day before Thanksgiving. But if you want the best deal and you're still looking to travel, you could find some bargains on Thanksgiving Day itself, since most people don't want to travel that day.
And I think that's probably, we're going to get to it in a minute, but the reason that it's so crowded is Thanksgiving, because it is a day. Even though Christmas or holiday or whatever, you know, area of that time you want to be celebrating is more spread out. So it's not always just a matter of getting there that one day, right? So people have more choices.
Exactly. Thanksgiving is all about being there and for that meal together on Thanksgiving Day. And remember, the Bills play in Detroit that day, so a lot of people will be traveling there to see that game that week.
Oh, my
gosh.
But then
you're right.
You better say that again. Right.
Yeah, the Bills traffic for Thanksgiving, right. And then Christmas is more about, some people might say, oh, we're going to have Christmas at home, let the kids open the gifts, and we head out on vacation on the 26th or 27th. Or some people might travel to be somewhere for New Year's Eve. So it's definitely more spread out for the year-end holidays over that two-week span.
I just want to interrupt for a moment in case you just tuned in, folks. You are listening to On Target with your host, Penny Wolfgang, and our guest today is Elizabeth Carey, and she's the Director of Public Relations for AAA. And we're talking about, like I said before, one of my favorite subjects, travel. Let's see. I've got travel. I've got entertainment. I've got the law. And those are, I guess, that are a wide range, but those are my favorite subjects. And so, since it's On Target, I try to talk about my favorite subjects, right, Elizabeth? Might as well.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much for having me here with you today.
So, let me go back to when people or get to, what about when they should make their reservations, and assuming that we are talking about traveling by plane, and how, what should they do about finding the most, the best route and the cheapest airfares?
So if you're thinking about traveling for the holidays, you should really be have that booked by now or be booking that right away, especially for Thanksgiving. So planning in advance is always key, kind of keeping an eye on the flights and seeing when the best deal is. What usually happens is people book the holidays in advance because they know they want to be there with their families on certain days. So then there's limited availability, and that will drive up the price. Sometimes if you wait to like a few weeks before you want to travel, you'll get a good deal. But with the holidays, people try to scoop up the preferred flights and the nonstop flights right away.
Okay. In other words, if you're listening now, it's too late.
It's not too late. There's still opportunities out there. It's just you might not get the preferred time of day or the specific day that you want. Flexibility is the key. If you can be flexible, that's going to save you the most money. And, you know, people would say, I have to travel the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and I have to come back on Sunday. That's when most people want to do that. So mm-hmm. you're going to have limited availability and really high prices. But if you say, you know what, I'm okay with traveling early Thursday morning on Thanksgiving Day itself and coming back on Monday, then you'll be able to find a better deal. So it's about flexibility for sure.
And as far as accommodations go, if you're not going to family but you're looking for a vacation type situation, what are the most best places that people should be thinking about going for vacation, and what about, you know, prices?
So, you know, to each their own as far as what's on your travel bucket list, but overall, average hotel bookings are up about 8% this year compared to 2021. But there's some great bargains to be had, too. If you look at places like Las Vegas and Denver stand out. For the top Thanksgiving destinations, Orlando's number one and Anaheim's number two. So AAA looked at this data and said, you know what, this shows that a lot of families are going to the theme parks. They're going to Disney in Orlando and Disney in California, and families want to have a lot of accessible entertainment, food, activities, all at their fingertips. So those are the top ones. But then if you look at prices for Las Vegas, it's third on the list, even for Thanksgiving travel, and prices are down 17% compared to last year. So you're going to have some great bargains. But next on the list is New York City. These prices are up 25%. And what that shows is that people are returning to big cities once again. You know, during the pandemic, a lot of people like to stay in like rural destinations, but now they're looking to return to urban cities like New York and, of course, to be there for the Thanksgiving Day parade.
And Vegas is, as you said, but when we talk about the theme parks and Disney, I was in Paris. My last trip, like a couple of months ago, my friend and I went to London and Paris. And the guide said to us, what do you think the top three attractions in Paris are? And we're all, you know, we're the Eiffel Tower, the Louvre, this. No, guess what the top attraction is outside of Paris? Disney. It's Disney.
I was thinking Eiffel Tower.
I know. She said we were all so shocked, you know. But when we went to the airport to come home, there were, you know, kids with Disney hats and kids with Mickey Mouse outfits and, you know, coming from Paris. So I don't know, that really, I will say that really surprised me. I don't know why. And I guess it surprised everybody else too.
That definitely is a surprise. And when you mention international travel, that was the slowest section to return, like coming out of the pandemic. Like, people started taking trips, you know, during the pandemic, like even across New York State and then across the country and staying within the U.S. and then returning to cruising and going to some different places. But international travel has started to rebound as far as more people traveling over to Europe and places like that. But it was the slowest one to recover. But what we're starting to see is people planning those kind of trips well into 2024 at this time.
Oh, wow. People are optimistic.
Yeah, definitely planning ahead. Right. They're optimistic. They said, you know, we want to take this big bucket list trip that we've been planning for a long time, or, you know, it was always on our minds, and we realized that life is short during the pandemic. And so people are really planning ahead, and there's a lot of bookings coming in for 2024. So that's pretty far in advance.
Now, speaking of booking and planning, let me do your job and tell everybody how important it is to use a travel agent when they're making their plans, as opposed to, which everybody else that I know does, going on the internet, going online, looking for the, you know, the best plane, the best accommodations, the price they can get. And I'll tell you why. Because if something goes wrong, and which happened on my trip just recently, where we were delayed and we couldn't make our connection to Europe, you know, both going and coming home, at least you have some. I was going to tell you about it, but we're sort of out of time. The trip was great, but we got missed our connection in going to London and coming home from Paris both times. But thank goodness I have a reliable, wonderful, fantastic travel agent who you can to fall back on, who you can contact, and who can say, "Okay, I'll get United. I'll see what other connection there is. You know, I'll get your bags on the right plane, and so forth and so on." People don't understand how difficult sometimes it can be if you're trying to do this on your own. If the flight is canceled and you're there, and that you have to, you know, rebook or try to get on another plane and do it yourself, it's really hard.
It sure is. And we saw that at the start of the pandemic when, you know, people say, "Oh, I can go online and I can do this myself." Well, travel agents can usually save you money, and they don't cost you any extra, that's for sure. But we have people calling saying, "Can you help us?" Like, when you book with some of these online sites, there is no phone number to reach anyone there if you have a problem. So people saw that during the pandemic. So we have seen a lot of people returning to using a good old-fashioned agent.
And that's when, you know, I'm a living, speaking, talking example of why, you know, when things can go wrong, why you need somebody to fall back on. Now, what about the airlines themselves? What do they have to do? I mean, my example, like I told you, the plane was delayed, you missed the connection. A lot of times people have to stay overnight somewhere and don't get their bags. What is the responsibility of the airlines in any of those situations?
Well, if your flight is canceled, you are entitled to a refund. So that's a federal law. Sometimes you need to work on your own behalf if you didn't book it with a travel agent to try and get that refund. And, you know, if you book online with JetBlue or Southwest or United or whatever it might be. But if you're working with an agent, they'll do that for you. But the airlines are definitely required to refund you if there's a cancellation. What we've seen is sometimes these flights are full. There's a cancellation around Thanksgiving and all the flights are full. How are you going to get onto the next plane? And that's what leads to the line in the airport and the frustrated travelers. And the federal government has said that they're going to step things up so that the airline would have to refund if there was a delay of a certain amount of time. So they're doing that to try and protect consumers out there.
So people, and what about, I guess, the other issue, lost baggage, when they keep claiming, "Oh, I never got my bag for 3 days," or, you know, that kind of thing?
Well, it's interesting. Flying here to Texas this week, and so many people had carry-on bags because there's been so much lost luggage. So this is the type of thing, too. If you have travel insurance to protect your investment, all of that would be covered if you, you know, if your luggage was lost on the trip. It doesn't help you. You know, they'll give you money to buy clothes when you get to your destination. It doesn't help you if your favorite outfit's lost in your suitcase and you can't get to it. But the travel insurance will allow you to purchase new clothing so you can enjoy the trip. But I saw a lot of people with carry-on bags to try and avoid checking bags just because of that reason.
That's a good point, I know. I wish I could do that, but I always have too much stuff.
Yeah, yeah, it's hard to pack light.
Everyone's always saying, oh, just carry on the bag. Well, that's an issue, too, though, because the airlines are getting, you know, they can't fit all the carry-on bags in the overhead bins and so forth, so they're, I think, limiting what you can carry on.
Yeah, one of my flights this week, they said the overhead bins are full. We're going to start checking your bags, even if you had a carry-on. So, you know, it does depend on the space limitations on the airline itself or on the airplane itself. But, yeah, what you'll see with some of the low-cost carriers, too, they put out, this is the price for the ticket. But then once you get in and you start buying the ticket, you realize, oh, I have to pay more for a seat. I have to pay more to bring a bag. I'm really only entitled to bring a personal item, and then they're going to charge me for anything after that. So be aware of that if you're looking at these discount airlines and how they've been tacking on these additional pricing. It's the newest thing out there. So the government's watching that, too, and trying to put some new rules into place so the fares are more upfront. People understand exactly what they're paying.
I just read that, and it's not just the it's the legacy airlines are doing that too, adding little, like you just pointed out before, if you want a seat together, you have to pay extra. If you want more leg room, if you want, you know, this, of course, baggage. And so there are a lot of add-ons that people have to be aware of. But if they are smart enough to call you or somebody at AAA, they will be aware and find out all of these. So let us give a little plug here to how people can reach you and what they should do for more information.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We try to make things easier for everyone, that's for sure. But you can go right to AAA.com/travel to look at all the travel offerings that are there. Pop into any AAA location. Of course, in Buffalo, we have Amherst, Orchard Park, and Kenton. Or you can always call AAA. And the number is so easy to remember. It's 1-800-AAA-HELP. And a lot of people dial that when they're broken down on the roadside. But you can also get help with travel through that number, too.
Oh, yes. We forgot about the broken down on the roadside. Yes, call AAA. Thank you so much. Enjoy the rest of your trip. It was great talking to you. And we'll look forward to seeing you when you get back, Elizabeth. And
thanks so much for having me.
And it was great. Thanks, everybody, for listening. We'll talk to you again next week. Be happy and safe if you're traveling. And please listen to us next week, same time, same station. Bye now.
You've been listening to On Target with Penny Wolfgang, a program that takes an inside look at Western New York and our community. If you have any comments or suggestions, please write to Penny Wolfgang at 500 Corporate Parkway, Suite 200, Amherst, New York, 14226.